The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we began to see yesterday, we're at a part of our study in Revelation where we have reached an interlude between the blowing of the sixth and seventh trumpets. This interlude lasts for about a chapter and a half. As we started looking at chapter 10, Elder Buddy Abernathy began to show us by Scripture that the mystery referred to in verse 7 is really the preaching of the gospel message in its truth during the church age. Join us as we continue today looking at this interlude, and we will see the rich blessings we have in understanding the true gospel message.
The
for who he did foreknow, he did predestinate.
So you see, that's not to be looked at as a mystery that can't be understood, but it's a mystery in the sense that it requires divine revelation. You know, the truth of salvation by grace is a mystery, in that man by nature doesn't understand it. Even religious man, even those in the Christian community, oftentimes as you converse with them, you see that they just can't see it. But if God, through divine revelation, opens their eyes, they will understand. That's the meaning of this expression here, or this word here in Revelation 10:7, when he refers to the mystery of God. But notice what he's saying in particular. He's referring to when the mystery of God should be finished. Now, what is the mystery of God that should be finished? He says when this seventh angel blows his trumpet, and that's clearly the end of time and the judgment that follows that. He says when that happens, the mystery of God should be finished. So notice he's using that expression, mystery of God, that the mystery of God should be finished. Notice he's using that interchangeably with the consummation of all things at the end of time. He's using it interchangeably with that. So what does he mean by this? He's referring to something that's not understood without divine revelation, and whatever it is, it will be finished when the Lord comes back. Now, since it's difficult to understand revelation, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, which is something we are very familiar with and we do understand, but we're going to look at a part of this that we usually don't cover when we're preaching on salvation by grace. So let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7. And it's referring to Jesus. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. There's that word mystery. Revelation teaches in chapter 10, verse 7, that at the end of time, the mystery is finished. Here, Paul is writing to the New Testament church regarding our life now here in this world, and he refers to God making known the mystery of his will. So here's the idea. Whatever mystery is going to be finished when the Lord comes back is the mystery of God's will. And that will of God will not be finished until the Lord comes back. Now, what is it? It says, he's having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, listen now, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that means when all timely dispensations are over, when time is complete, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, I want to try to get one simple idea across from all of this. This mystery that will be finished when the Lord comes back, which is described here as the mystery of his will, has to do with God's overall purpose to save his people, which is a mystery to many of God's children. You know that. You know, you've conversed with people that are Christians that love the Lord just like you do, And it's not just a matter that they don't understand that salvation is by grace as opposed to works, or saying that you have to accept Christ or you have to do this. It's more comprehensive than that, isn't it? It's a matter of this purpose God had in Christ before the world began. And that purpose He had in Christ was to save His people. That purpose He had in Christ was executed on the cross. That purpose He had in Christ has to do with Him applying that salvation to every one of His children while they live here in this world. And the Lord will come back and get those, and they'll all be with Him. And even in Romans 8, you remember in verse 30, it refers to them being glorified in a past tense. So here's the idea. This mystery of His will that will be finished when the Lord comes back is this whole comprehensive doctrine of what God determined before the world began until it's finished where the world ends. Very few of God's children have that comprehensive understanding. You may say, "Well, brother, buddy, I don't have that understanding." I'm not talking about a full understanding of it, but you understand that concept. Yes. And we'll see. We may not have time to get to it tonight, but this understanding of this mystery is the basis of our fellowship in the gospel. That's why you have a special relationship among those that understand and believe this, that's much more special than children of God that don't have this understanding. You know that by your experience. That's not being critical of them. We hope and pray they can understand it and we can feel closer to them. But let me show you some of the things related to this mystery of His will. This mystery which will be finished when the Lord comes back. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. And I'm going to look at three passages that give you three different concepts which describe blessings you have as a consequence of this mystery. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. He's referring to the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints. Now there he's simply talking about this mystery that wasn't understood during Old Testament times. In that first 4,000 years of history, this was not clearly understood. Notice that Peter said even the very men that were making these utterances didn't understand exactly what they were referring to, even though they themselves were making the utterances. And I'll not turn to that tonight, but you know, Peter made that point. That there were men that were blessed to utter these things, but they themselves didn't have the understanding of them. That's what he's talking about here, is this that has been hid from ages past. But notice he then says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, that although it's been hid from ages and from generations past, it's now made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want you to see this point. We think about this comprehensive mystery of His will, His covenant of salvation, which will be finished when the Lord comes back. Notice here's a component of it, you might say. Because he refers to the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You as an individual, as a child of God, born of the Spirit, the one thing that you have now as part of this mystery that gives you the ability to understand it is Christ in you. And Christ in you produces the hope of glory. See, even God's children without gospel understanding, there's something in them that causes them to hope for another better world. Even the American Indian, you can read stories that even though they had no understanding, they came up with ideas of a better world. Now, their ideas weren't right, but it was because of Christ in them that there was a hope for something better. They just needed understanding. Every born-again child of God, whether he has knowledge of the gospel or not, that longing for something better is in them. But since you know the truth of the gospel, you have something that hope is specifically focused on. He says that's the hope of glory. See, when you think about this comprehensive mystery regarding God's will that'll be finished when the Lord comes back, here's what you individually as a child of God have in terms of taking part in it now, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the advantage you have over many other children of God is they don't have an expanded understanding of this comprehensive mystery of His will that you've been blessed to have. And then look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Now notice how practical this gets in trying to figure out this symbolic language of Revelation. Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." He's talking, and here, I believe the particular application of grace has to do with him being called to preach. He says, this grace, a particular grace. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all graces, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Now notice here's the general idea again, but there's another blessing we read about here. He says that my purpose as a preacher is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He says in the latter part of it, as we've already stated and looked at in other verses, that this mystery has been hid from the foundation of the world. That is, this covenant was in place before the world began. It was in place when the world began, but the understanding of it did not come along in a clear, manifest way until Jesus came to the world and the gospel was preached. But notice with regard to this understanding of this mystery of His will, He says, "My calling as a preacher is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Now there comes fellowship. You see that? All of God's children have Christ in them, the hope of glory. But there are some of God's children with gospel understanding resulting from them hearing the truth preached, which causes them to enjoy the fellowship of the mystery. See how thankful we ought to be for what we have. Amen. You can go among all religious denominations, and this is not a criticism at all, and you will not find the fellowship that we have among those who have been blessed with the revelation of His will. Amen. You know, why did God show it to me? You know, I'm not a very smart person, and you know, reading comprehension was my most difficult subject in college, but I can read the writings of men who wrote comprehensive commentaries on the whole Bible, and when I read that, I say, well, if he wrote three or four pages on this one verse, and he covered the whole Bible, that must have been all he did night and day his whole life. But I can read that and immediately see, well, he doesn't see the light on that. Why did he bless me to see it? You know, most men, though that are highly educated and have spent their entire lives devoted to study and writing commentaries, they never come to that full understanding of the covenant of God, which requires that all of God's elect be born of the Spirit irresistibly, whether they ever hear the gospel or not.
Amen.
I dare say you'll not find a single man who has written a complete commentary on the Bible that has that understanding. If you do, I want a set of those commentaries. If he's got light on that, he's probably going to have light on a lot of other things.
Amen.
So he says there's fellowship in this mystery. And then look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. And again, I know we're starting mid-sentence, but let's begin with verse 18. That'll be a good place to start. Paul says, praying always with all prayer. He's asking the people at the church to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, as Primitive Baptists, we ought to believe in perseverance. You see that? Perseverance in prayer. Try to keep on praying. Try to persevere in prayer. You can't persevere in eternal salvation. You can't persevere in such a way that you'll go to heaven, but you ought to try to persevere in prayer. But notice what he says, prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The gospel, which is the good news of salvation in Christ, which is the most important part of this comprehensive mystery of His will, is something that Paul says, or asks the church to pray, that this mystery, this understanding of the gospel, might be made known. You know, we're excited that we're working with a church now that understands this mystery of His will. And many of the ministers affiliated with them, matter of fact, according to their own words, all of them except one they know, has lost a full understanding of the mystery of His will. But you see, our experience with that church shows that once you see that, you don't want to get away from it. And when we go to them and preach about this mystery of His will, it's like it turns the light back on. You know, they say we've drifted away from that, and we don't want to hear these versions of it. You know, Paul talked about another gospel. We want to hear the whole thing. And I hope those things that I tried to bring out there in the latter part of this message will at least give you a little insight on Revelation chapter 10. But if you get nothing else tonight, I hope you can understand what he means when he talks about the mystery of God that should be finished.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.